Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we thank you and we love you, we bless you, and we glorify you. We give you the honor and the glory. Thank you because you help us. Thank you because you are with us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Honor, grace, and faith. Honor, grace, and faith. In 1 Samuel, we spoke a bit on honor. 1 Samuel 2:30. Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So now, after studying, we understood why the Lord said this. It had to do principally with the sons of Eli. And these men were priests, but they did not respect the offerings of the Lord, nor did they give honor. And they would sleep with the women in the temples. Honor. So I give you a definition of honor. That word honor is very important. Because apart from many other things, in its context. And a couple services ago, we saw a few verses on it. To honor means to abound in all areas. But this is concerning to God. Remember in 3 John 1:2, Beloved, I desire above all things that you may prosper. Thank you. Beloved, I desire above all things that you may prosper in all things. So what is all things? An example. Suppose I'm a person of the world, I'm a pagan, or I'm a person that has just been born again, and I barely come to the things of the Lord. How would you define if someone were to ask you all things? What would you say? Okay, healing, prosperity, what else? Prosperity in what area? Because it says, Beloved, I desire that you may prosper. So in what area? Just financial? In all areas. So prosperity includes finances, but it means in all areas. It's in every area, because I could have money. Like there are many people who have money being a millionaire or not lacking anything financially, but having a matrimony where I'm constantly fighting with my wife and my children don't speak to me and my wife doesn't respect me. That's an example. So that would not be prosperity. Listen to this word. A whole prosperity, a complete prosperity. Beloved, I desire that you may prosper in all areas. And then, that you may have health. Notice how it doesn't say healing. Healing, glory to God for healing, is when we need to be healed from an illness. But health is a step forward. I remember being a kid, I was very prone to sickness. And even as an adolescent. Remember, Anai? Although I'm 13 years older than my sister, she'd see me sick when she was a kid. But you go from healing to health. But it has to do a lot with what you believe and you speak. For example, you dishonor God when you start saying, but it's because we have to die of something. Because I'm old. Well, related to what? What are you to what? Related to what? If I'm going to say old and I'm going to compare myself to that young guy right there, well, chronologically speaking, yeah, I'm old. But in compared to what? Or compared to who? What does God call old? I want to see what God calls old and not what the world or people or science calls old. Amen? The Bible says in Genesis that Abraham died full of days and in good old age. In Genesis 24, verse 1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So notice this, Abraham was old. But how old was Abraham here? I don't have time to show you, but if you sum up, in Genesis 23:1, Sarah lived 127 years. And Abraham was around 140 years here. 140 years, and he was already old. Then Genesis 25, verse 7. And Abraham, 25, verse 7, this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in good old age. Abraham died in what? In good old age. Men, I know men who are widowers at 50 years, and they're saying, oh, you got to get married again. They said, no, I don't want to get married again. I already went through that. And this guy got married again because, you know, Abraham didn't speak the trash that we speak. The dishonor. We give too much dishonor to God with our mouth. Hallelujah. We don't have to speak that way. Here we have a good example. So what does Abraham have to do with me, you might ask? Galatians 3:6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So you don't have to die of something. Die when you're already tired of this life. You've done what you had to do in the Lord. But until then, you don't have to even be speaking death. People die before a good age because they speak too much dishonor to God. Amen. 1 Peter 3:10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So do you want to love life and see good days? Refrain your tongue. Means to control your tongue. Yeah, faith does not deny things. Nor faith does it deny the circumstance. But again, we don't have to be speaking things that are contrary. Sometimes I wake up and my back hurts, but instead of saying, oh man, how does my back hurt? My back hurts so much. You know, I'll tell my daughters, I believe I'm healed from a pain in my back. Pray for me, please. Notice how I didn't say that I'm healed. I said, I believe that I am healed. And I'll speak in that in a bit. But honor, we have to speak honor. Now, I'm going to touch a bit on honor because it's honor, grace, and faith. I'll speak on the grace of God for a few minutes. I already spoke for many months on the grace, so I won't speak much. Just want to remind you, grace is the part of God. It's God's part. Grace is unmerited favor from God. God gave grace to all human beings, but the grace of God is worthless if it is not accessed through faith. As to say, it doesn't work in your life or my life. Not saying that grace doesn't work for anything, but it won't work in our lives for anything unless we do not access it through faith. It's like this water here. I can be thirsty, and my body need the vitamin C. If you see it's a little cloudy, it's because it has lemon in it. And I could die of thirst, and literally die of thirst, dehydrate myself. And it's like having the grace right there and not taking advantage of it. It's the same thing, having the water there and not taking advantage of it. But faith does this. Amen. Give me some, pastor. No, then I won't have any for myself. Did you understand that? That's grace. Grace, another area of grace, of the grace of God. It's what our Lord Jesus Christ, look, already paid. Past tense. Already paid. I'll give you an example. Imagine that a man is here. And this man stands up here and says, I have weeks without eating. I've only drinking water, but I have weeks without eating. And I'll tell Dr. Serrano, please check out this man. And the doctor tells me, hey, if this man doesn't eat in a couple hours, his body will die. His body is already worn out. He doesn't have any fats. His muscle is deteriorating. He's atrophied. And we tell him, okay, here, we're going to take you to one of the rooms there, and we're going to give you some food. And you give him the food. But the man never eats it. He never ate it. The grace of God is right there. How old is this? We have a couple years here with these ornaments. But at first, I thought this bread was real, and I was almost going to bite it. But it's all fake. But imagine if this were real. The food is right there. Perhaps it might not be the most complete meal. But if a man in those conditions eats some bread, some grapes, an apple, a mango, he would live, correct? Yes, he would live. But the man, you put him here. But he has to grab it with his hand, put it in his mouth, chew it, and swallow. That would be faith. You see, here's grace. Grace is here. But the man doesn't do it, doesn't eat. And then hours later, we go and we realize that he's dead. What happened? We didn't give him food? No, we gave him the food, right? He didn't take advantage of it. It's the same thing. Same thing that happens with grace and with faith. You can have all the grace, actually, and not even take advantage of it, not receive it. The same grace that God extended to us in Christ Jesus is the same grace that was extended to Hitler. Hitler did not receive it. But it was extended to him. It was given to him. But not everything that is given is received. Faith is that. Amen. Now let me give you an example of faith. Now grace, the one that takes it, the faith that grabs something. For example, Mark chapter 11. Before going to Mark, very important on the grace of God. I told you what Jesus already paid. Grace also has to do with the unconditional love of God. There's another thing that I want to explain before going to Mark, because this is very interesting. Grace has to do with the love of God. Did you know that I dealt with hunger. I ate out of a food container outside of a McDonald's, because years ago, I'm talking about maybe 23 years, for certain days, they had what wasn't sold, that frozen food, the food where they asked for all that's not fresh and hot. But it's food that's frozen, then they unfreeze it. Well, after a certain time, after it's not used, they throw it away, and that's what I would eat. But not in Mexico, here in the United States. Curiously, in Mexico, I never dealt with hunger. All my food, everything. My mom attended me very well. Ever since I was a kid, I liked Levi's and Wrangler. There you go, I'm giving publicity to those companies. I never dealt with hunger there, in Mexico. It was up until here in the United States, where there's more abundance. For certain circumstances, which I don't have time to explain. And then I arrived at Chandler, Arizona. In Chandler, and I stayed with a brother, with a cousin of mine. But I would use a bicycle to go to work. Super hot. I had to leave around 7 a.m. to get to work. I still didn't know Nubia. I didn't know my parents-in-law. For that reason, I had to go live in Mesa, because I lived in Chandler, but my work was in Mesa. And due to an error from a person who I knew, he said, oh yeah, come live here, you'll pay me so much for rent, you'll have a room there. But when I arrived, remember, Nubia knows exactly what I'm referring to, the names that I could give, and which people I'm referring to. She knows them. She knows all those people, but I'm not going to speak about anyone. Just telling you how it happened. I don't want to sound critical about it. And you know what happened? When I arrived, I went to Chandler for my two pants and my two shirts that I had, and a deodorant and toothpaste. A deodorant and a toothbrush, because I didn't even have toothpaste. I would brush my teeth with salt. And from there, when we arrived, that person tells me, oh, you know what? I just remembered. You still can't enter into the room yet because the person is going to leave up until the last month. Now we understand. Because if you're going to leave a department or a house, you wait up until the last day. You see, I didn't come with that culture. I didn't know anything about that. I had never lived on rent. I left with my parents. I didn't know anything about that. And when I arrived, I said, well, what am I going to do now? I already left the other house. Another person is already staying there in Chandler with my cousin. He told me, well, I don't know. I didn't know anything about faith. I still hadn't met my pastor, who is now in heaven. I didn't know that there was a Fred Price or a Hagen or a Copeland. I didn't know any of them, but I didn't know one thing. I knew how to pray in tongues. So my cousin, who is in Chandler, he said, here, take the bike, the bicycle. Keep it up until you buy maybe a car or something for yourself so you can move around. Praise the Lord that he lent me that bicycle. So I grabbed the bicycle and I went walking. Well, apologies. I went on the bicycle, crying. I didn't understand faith. My emotions won me over, praying and crying, literally crying and crying and praying in tongues. And I went through that road south of Mesa on McDonald's Road, and I went all the way to Broadway, and I went on, and there on a road, extension road, I think it was the Spirit of the Lord guiding me on extension and Broadway there in Mesa, Arizona. To this day, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's a Circle K there. Behind the Circle K, there was a shop there, and there was a parking lot, and there was a junk car there on some bricks, on some blocks, and that's where I slept for a week. And in summertime, I couldn't sleep sometimes, if that's what sleeping is. And it was already occupied, the car, by two cats when they saw me. They kissed him and said, hey, you know what? I got to sleep here. Just a space here. An old seat here that I could take. Amen. And I stayed there for a week up until the person there where I was going to live finally moved. And those same people, brothers in Christ, hey, don't believe of people of the world. No, brothers in Christ. He told me, you're going to pay $275 for the room. This is 2000, the year 2000. Okay. Months later, the same people there who let me live in their home, they told me, it was a Saturday in the morning. Are you going to head out? And I said, and it was a Saturday. By this time, I already knew Nubia and my parents-in-law. And I said, I'm going to go to Nubia's house. They lived about 3 or 4 blocks away where that house is and where they live currently. Well, so the owner of the home is going to come for the rent. Can you give it to her? It was in an envelope. And I said, yeah, of course. They left. I got ready. I was waiting for the owner of the home to arrive. She arrived, knocked on the door. She said, how are you? I said, very well. I've come for the rent, for the money of the rent. Yes, the owner, the current renter of the home told me to give this to you. And she gave me a receipt. And you know how much the receipt was? $400. And I said, and Gustavo opened it. Gustavo just opened his mouth, knowing what I'm referring to. Exactly. I said, what? I said, and I asked her name. And I said, this is what we pay of rent? So I was paying $275. And the other two people were paying, between both of them, $125. And it was, since it was two, about $75. They were brothers in Christ. And that's how I was for a long time, for more than a year. But in that house, when I arrived, that's how it was. So people see me now, and they don't know those things. So then, how have I advanced in life? Just out of luck, because I have a lot of luck? No. It's because I've grabbed these two powers. I understood grace, but above all, I understood honor and faith. And now when my family or friends come and visit, now I have three homes inside of my one property. And I'm not in debt. And I can house all the friends and family that I need. When to me, back then, they would charge, they were abusing me of that money, and I didn't even know how much they paid. They just told me, and since, you know, I had a need to be in a place. And you could say, oh, and because of that price, 24 years ago, it must have been something very nice. I remember when my mom arrived the first time, she came to visit me, and Anahi here, she was a kid. And let's see if you remember. My mom said, she turned, looked at the room, and she said, this is where you live, son. Yep. And it was there. Oh, and at night, these people would turn off the cooler. We didn't have air conditioning. We had a cooler. Do not pay too much for the light bill. And you know, Eden and I are not very good friends. I would have to go to shower, brothers and sisters. And literally, and come out wet and sleep on the floor because I didn't even have a bed. And I'd put a, a blanket full of holes. Shut up, dude. That's where I would have to sleep. And then another brother in Christ, you say, Brother Hughes, I want to bless you. I have a bed there for you. And I went in there. It was a mattress, not even a full bed. And then when I went looking for it, perhaps I thought, oh, is that the bed? No. Over there in the yard in the back, he removed a whole bunch of junk. And this is the mattress. It's because this is where our dog sleeps. Oh, but it's very old. He doesn't like it anymore. So we bought him a new one. Turned around, the dog was right there on the new one, and they wanted to give me the full one full of dirt, dust, pee, spider webs, and dead spiders. And I just thought, instead of getting, who do you think that you are, and this and that, how you sometimes get very, very prideful. I just thought, well, let's see. Either I sleep on the bare floor, and then you'd say, oh, a nice new floor. No. Hey, you can sleep here on this one. Well, this floor, this carpet here is better, much better. No, back then it was, I think the carpet was placed in the 70s or something, of how old and gross it was. The only reason there was no rats was because it was so gross that they didn't want to come in. And I thought I saw that mattress full of dust, and I thought, sleeping on the bare floor But that shot up blanket. Well, I'll take it, brother. Oh, glory to God, Brother Hughes. It's so nice for us to be able to bless you. We're going to bless someone. Don't give them junk. Apart from that, it's your seed. Now, if you're going to throw away some junk, something that doesn't work, and a person says, hey, you know, that works for me. That trash is for me. I don't know, perhaps a piece of an old junk car or something, because they want to sell the metal, the scrap metal, or grab a part from it. Well, that's on them. You know, that's different. But you to say, oh, I want to bless you, and to get rid of the junk, you want to give it to someone in need. Very, very bad. That's your seed. So out of that seed is what you will reap. And I took it. And I went to that house where they were robbing me. And there, in that yard, with a stick, I was hitting it to air it out and get out all that dust. Now some of you start cursing because, oh no, your nail broke. Hallelujah. Mark 11, verse 23. Well, I live in a government depot. I live in government housing. Yeah, but it's better than where I lived. And you don't have to stay in government housing all your life. You can advance in life if you put this to work, what I'm teaching. Mark 11:23. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, this mountain, that mountain is the circumstance, that problem, illness, etc., be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, again, verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The word, whatever thing you ask, is also say or to demand in the spiritual world, speak. It comes from the same family, because when you ask, well, you're speaking something. Whatever things you say, you will have. Whatever you say. In verse 23. Verse 24, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, or say when you're praying, believe you receive them, and you will have them. Now, except for Nubia, I'm going to make a question. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say that you will have? According to Mark 23:24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. What did the Lord say that you will have? Well, as everyone is speaking, let's see. Raise your hand. Who said something there? Okay. What did you say? Thank you. She's the only one that answered correct. What you believe that you receive. Not what you pray. What you believe that you will receive. That's why people don't receive their healing, because they say, I'm healed. And people see them sick and they say, no, I see you sick. And then they start doubting. Oh yeah, that's true. I look sick. Which is why you believe you receive it. which is why you believe you will have it. I just told Nubia a while ago, or Kayla. I don't remember if it was Kayla, but I said, agree with me, pray for me, because I believe that I am healed. I believe that I am healed of some back pain. My back hurt, which is why I said, I believe I am healed. But minutes after praying, they said, how are you? And I said, I'm healed. You see the difference? Your confession is, I believe I receive. I believe I am healed. The reason many people do not receive, brothers and sisters, is because the pressure of people, of be it family, be it friends, they always say, what did the doctor say? Or how are you? Or the doctor said this, or the lawyer said this, or the architect said this, or my financial aid said that. That's fine, but no one's asking for that. It's, how is that situation going? So you say, I believe I have. Or believe I am healed. Or I believe that I have this documentation. If they understand or don't understand, that's not on you. What's on you is for you to understand it. Now, if they want to ask, well, you take advantage to teach them. But you see, this person that I knew years ago went through a situation similar. And when he would hear me speak of faith, he would say, oh, well, I believe I'm healed. But his family, friends, his children, uncles, family would say, he would say, I'm healed. But then his family would come and say, no, it's because you don't, you look very bad. You see, you look more worn out. You look more tired. Your children would say, no, you're crazy. Look at you. Look at how you look. So then he started doubting it. And then he said, true. Now he started looking at himself in the mirror and said, yeah, it's true. I don't look. So what Brother Hughes is preaching isn't true. Not true. No. He wasn't understanding. Your confession is, I believe I am healed. Or I believe I receive my healing, glory to God. Up until you are healed. I believe I receive my prosperity. I believe I am free of debt. Glory to God. And then what's next? You act on it. If you believe that you are free of debt and spending like you're spending irresponsibly, that's not acting in faith. Now here comes another force, wisdom, how to act. But then we'll speak on that later. But you understand what I told you. I'm going to go back on a moment to those years ago. All that I knew was praying in tongues. So I started praying in the Spirit. More than a year passed. And 3rd of June 2001, someone sent me some cassettes from my pastor who was in heaven that all of you or the grand majority of you knew. And I started listening to them. And that night I couldn't sleep. And it's things that have marked me in my life. If I remember correctly, if some of you could perhaps go quickly to your calendar on your phone, that June 3rd of 2001 has to be a Wednesday. I arrived from preaching in a church. What did I preach? Religion. By this time, we already lived in another home with the same people there that I shared with you that were robbing me. We had moved now to another department or something. It wasn't even a house anymore. It was a department, two bedroom. Yeah, it's a Wednesday? Thank you. You know what happened? The Wednesday is what they're sharing with me. Well, it was a Wednesday back in those days. I opened that package. The person whom which I lived with is that family. The lady of the house said, son, this package arrived for you in the mail. And I opened them up. It was of a person that I knew. It was those cassettes from my pastor. Back then, he wasn't my pastor. I didn't even know him personally. That night, I did not sleep. But other nights, I didn't sleep due to illness or due to worry. Due to, how am I going to pay rent? To give these people money to pay rent. Because we moved from, I went to a department, but from a house to an apartment, but I lived the same. And now it was less because it was two bedrooms. I had to share a bedroom. In the other house, the bedroom where I was, now I had to share the bathroom. And I was constantly sick in the pocket of my pants. I had an asthma inhaler, and in the other one, I had some pills for depression. Very few people knew that I had that, only Nubia did. You know what happened? That night, the importance of words, because I would pray now. I would pray and pray and pray, and I would ask God the same. But here's this question. If grace is love, didn't God love me? Does God love me now in 2024 than He did in 2020 in the year 2000 and 2001? No, it was the same love. What happened then? I did not understand the law of faith, how faith worked. And I was not honoring God the way that I should have because I didn't understand it. So God wanted to show a greater grace to me. But to show me that greater grace, He needs a greater faith in operation. And God wanted to honor me, but I was not honoring Him because with my words, with my doubt, with my fear, with my discouragement, I was not trusting in Him. We following along? If you were to leave Douglas right now, go out on a trip, or went out on Black Friday with a survey of the amount of people, if you were to ask them or made this question, look, hey, do you have faith in God? I can assure you, actually do it someday. Go there to the stores there and ask 100 people and ask them, hey, question, just a question, very easy. Do you have faith in God? I can assure you that if they don't, if even perhaps not 100, 97 will say yes. All people that I've known will tell you that they have faith in God. But without criticizing anyone, nor to condemn anyone, it's not true. They don't know how faith works. And they don't know how that faith works and how to put it to work. Therefore, if you don't understand faith, you won't understand honor. I wasn't honoring God. Now, God loves me the same, but God was limited. Because I was constantly worried. I was constantly discouraged or sick. How am I going to make it to pay rent? How am I going to make it to do this? What helped me to maintain myself? Praying in the Spirit. Praying in other tongues. But I was lacking something which is known as understanding and how to apply it. The Bible says, I'm just going to share this with you, in Isaiah, and in Hosea, my people perished because they lacked understanding. Amen. What did they lack? Understanding. What did they lack? Doesn't say prayer, although we should pray. Doesn't say shouts of joy, although we should. They lacked understanding how to apply. How to apply that understanding. And having understanding, how to apply it. That is wisdom. Wisdom is when you know how to apply what you know. In other words, why are there so many people that say that we have to die of something? Because they don't have understanding. They don't know that the Bible says, I will fill you with long life. And if the Bible says it, then now you have to receive it and speak. Confess it. Speak it. Release it. Let it loose through your mouth. And not speak trash. And not try to please the whole world where you can arrive with your friends or family. They're sitting down and they're all speaking nonsense, and you yourself, you have to say the same thing that they say. You know more. You understand how the kingdom works. Contrary, you should say, don't speak like that. Like I told a person long ago, I said, don't talk like that. You're just bringing more cursing. Referring to someone from my family. There was no understanding. He said, I will honor those who honor me. But God wanted to honor me. But up until I heard those cassettes, I couldn't sleep. Now I said I couldn't sleep, but this was different. You know what? I hadn't slept, not because it was worry or depression or something of the sort. I hadn't slept due to the joy. I heard a cassette and another, and I didn't just listen to them. I got my Bible, started writing things down. The next day, I went to work, and I arrived at a gas station. You know what? Remember those Walkmans? Who remember? Where you would put a cassette in. And you could have some headphones. Because they had sent me two study series. One had six cassettes. And then another with eight. I listened to the one with six. I said, what is this? What is this that this man has said? This man was speaking that I had never heard before. I learned that I was a spirit in that other study series that I was into. I wasn't writing down, but because I was working, but I was listening. I almost wanted to go back home for my Bible and for my notebook to write things down. And I did after that I left from work. Because it's when you value the word. Nowadays, we don't value the word. I have so many preachers on YouTube that, who cares? Who cares if this church closes down, Brother Hughes? At least there's others. There's others to listen to. But you know what? When you value the word and you honor God, God continues to give you more and more honor. But it's when we have a lot of things, many things, food and things of the sort, we're so fat. We're so sick of food that we don't value when we didn't have, and now we don't honor God. We don't honor what God has given us. Danger. There's a reason. Nuvia and I, glory to God. The same thing. We listen to the same. Actually, I'm going to teach the same again. Actually, what I'm going to teach, because I found in a place there in my home some notebooks with a very worn out, very worn out ink. How faith works. September of 2001. I'm going to teach you that study series and the same that I started preaching there in Mesa. And the same that I've said here, but I don't know, people forget. All I think it's because they listen to many other things that they mix one thing with another and they dilute the word. That's what helped me get out of depression. After I said, I know this man. I think of, I'll watch him on the internet. Lose myself for 3 months and then listen to him. And why? Because now for me, it's very easy from here to Tucson. And I think from Tucson to Phoenix, to lose myself, I don't have issues financially. But in that time, travel from Mesa to Tucson, it was to use all the faith that I had. I didn't have money. I didn't have a good car. I didn't have air conditioning. And I went. I used all the faith that I had. The brother in Christ that I know, without asking him anything, I said, hey, you know, he said, you know what? I'm going to send you a money order with a certain amount of money. The Lord told me to give you this. And I said, oh, amen, thank you. I believe you. I said, believe me that it was God who spoke to you. And I used it to go to meet a Wednesday in the evening, my pastor. And from there, we had a relationship. Pastor, sheep, spiritual son, and with Nubia for 17 up until he went. What an honor. At 16 years with Fred Price, Kenneth Copeland is still alive. I still have a relationship with him. I thank him every day because he has honored me. But I don't take it lightly. Thank you, Lord. People say, oh, well, this hasn't worked for me. It's not because it's God. No, the And in that time, Nubia and I started listening. And one day, well, in that time, let's see if my grandparents remember. My parents-in-law, perhaps they remember. Well, this was 2001. So let's see, summer of 2001. So Nubia would call me, and we were going to another very religious church. And my mother-in-law would sometimes go with us. You remember which church I'm talking about. So one day Nubia called me. Or no, Saturday I called her in the evening. I said, "Love, I'm not going to go to church. Go with your mom." And Nubia, "You're not going to go to church?" Because, I mean, shut up. You'd be missing out on church like some of you. Shut up. It was we in religion, but we honored God. Shut up. Forget about it. First, you skin us alive before we would miss church. And we started honoring God in that level. But here's what happened. Nubia asked me, why are you not going to go to church? It's because I have other things to do. I'll share. I'll talk with you later. It was on a Sunday. So we didn't see each other in during the week up until Friday. Then from Friday, I told her, you know what? This Sunday, I'm not going to go to church either. And then I would go to church where we were going to, that traditional church, Wednesday evenings as well. And she asked me because she didn't go because she was in school and then in the afternoon she'd go to work. She was a minor. We weren't married yet. Our in-laws made a rule. So he said, you can be here all day, but at 9 you leave. Remember? Yeah. At 9 you go. Their service started after 9, before 9. They've always slept early. I mean, at 6:30 they're asleep. But these services, they've been struggling. I mean, they're like chickens. Once the sun is down, they go to sleep. And she said, did you go to church? And I said, no, I didn't go. So when we would end up going out to eat, going out on a date or something, on Main Street, in a pizzeria, because it was $4.50, $4.50. You can eat whatever you want, a pizza or something like that. Well, that's all we could pay for. We would go, and when I went to go leave her there, on that Friday, my father-in-law came out and he said, "Hey, oh, we're gonna make some menudo here. What time? Oh, early at 5. No, no, no. I want to sleep. I want to sleep." Like a rented mule. At 8. Well, at 8 I'll be. He went in. And before Nubia getting off the car, I told her again on Sunday that I wasn't going to go to church. She said, okay, what's going on? It's too much. Where are you going? Okay. You know, this is too much that you're not going to church. I mean, it was something different for her. Some of you, it's when you end up going, your family says, you're going to go? But in my case, it was different. In my case, it was completely different. So she said, okay, what's going on? Yeah, I'm going to tell you the truth. You looked at me. And what are you going to come out with now? I brought in another study series of my pastor who is in heaven. Received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know, by this time perhaps she thought, you know what, because I'm going with another woman. It turns out I was going with another man. You know what I'm referring to in the correct sense. Just to clarify, now in these days you have to clarify. He's clarifying. Who is it? He asked. That you have to listen to him. Version that I've been going to. Got off. Said, okay, in the morning, tell me if you listened a cassette or two. Shut your eyes. She listened to all six. Again, she didn't sleep. The same thing happened to her. She asked me, what is this? Where is this? Tucson, you want to go tomorrow? But I have to ask my dad. And my father-in-law made us suffer because, again, he wasn't going to any church yet. They were still... He was barely letting his wife and Nubia to go. And then he would say, no, it's not there. So then after eating menudo, he said, hey, would you let Nubia go to Tucson with me? To Tucson? What are you going to Tucson? It's because I'm going to go to church. A church? All right, don't you go to one here? Yes, but it's another one. Aren't all Christian churches the same? I said, I didn't know. I didn't want to confuse him more. I said, I'll tell you. And that's how we were the whole day. And we ate, and there I was all day. Up until around almost before going to sleep. We went to bed. He was just there. I went and sat down next to him. I said, so, can you let us go? What a different time, right? Nowadays, the children... No, the 15-year-old girl was with her boyfriend. Where are they? Oh, they went to Phoenix. To Phoenix? With some friends, and that's where they're going to stay to sleep. You see the difference? This is why the world is how they are and consequences. But that's another story. But there, all of that has to do with honor. Because now I wanted to honor God and people. And I was doing things correct because I had never done them right before. And my sisters are here as witnesses. Remember, I told you the devil to this day, the reason that he is the father of depression was because he lost me. Amen. Because I respected Nubia, I respected my in-laws, and I never slept with her up until we were married. Until we were married. Amen. And my in-laws are here. She before had never had a boyfriend. So now how was I going to end up making trash of her? And to come preach to the Lord Jesus Christ and then give them a terrible example. Well, from there, they're thinking, oh man, why did I come? It's supposed to be a holiday weekend. Best if I tell you the truth. Well, after that. He asked, well, what time are you going to leave? At 7:30. Well, why so early? Because the service starts at 10. At 10, it's 2 hours. And I don't like to arrive late. Now, I tell it as a joke, but that's part of honoring God. Which is why many Christians don't see honor from God. It's those small foxes that rob that harvest. Those small little details. But this is why I spoke so much on grace the first few weeks. Because you need to learn the motive. Up until you don't truly have a relationship with God, God will not be able to tell you, hey, change this, change. And we went. I said, okay, yeah, it's fine. So he let us go. It was another thing for us. And to this day, same word, as if we were listening to it the first time. The same principles of faith. How faith works. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith speaks the word of God. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. No, you don't answer, please. And if some of you know it, don't answer. Or if you answer it incorrectly, answer correctly. But for example, an example of faith. How many of you, remember, if you know it, don't. How many of you believe that you're looking at me right now and you're listening to me? At least raise your hand. How many of you believe that you're looking at me? All right, thank you. Thank you for the honesty. No, truly, thank you. How many believe? One person, raise their hand. That's what I want. Raise your hand, yes. How many of you believe? Thank you for your honesty. But that's where you're wrong. No, I'm not telling this to make fun of you. Or to humiliate you. This is why it's so important. You know what I thought, and I think I one time shared it with Sister Mireya. Speaking of that, you know, when I reached this small town, here you would hear churches that God was the one that caused you all illnesses. I finished my mission here. I finished, yeah. I could even leave Douglas. And I realized that I couldn't because of faith. I thought that I was done. Which is why you believe that you receive it. Because you don't have the manifestation. You don't believe that you're looking at me. Actually, you are watching. You are looking at me. You believe what you don't see manifested. Which is why you have to believe that you have your healing. Which is why you say, I believe I receive my healing. I believe I'm healed because you don't have it. Faith is the evidence while the manifestation comes. Again, many years ago, when I lived in Hermosillo, do you remember for that shop there? I think in the same shop, that same road. You said it was there? That same road, farther ahead, there was a place where they would excuse. There are some boots back then that I liked a lot. But I had worn out the heel. But all up front was very nice. It was still good. So, you know, it's very common to take a pair of shoes to get fixed. So I went to that place there. And they gave me a card. Blue card. Very, very, very dark blue, and I took it on a Wednesday that I had to pick him up on Friday at 6 in the evening. I think now it's worse. The in the center of Hermosillo, but back then it was worse. Back then it was bad, now it's worse. The parking lots. I had to leave the car a couple blocks away. It was Friday, and I was taking that paper with me. When I was walking, a friend of mine from school saw me and said, hey, how are you? We stopped there. And it was almost 6. And this is what I told them. Hey, I got to go because they're going to close up. And I had to start to walk another blocks away. I left my car far away because there was no parking. I said, it's about to be 6. And look what I told them. I'm going to go pick up some boots that I had to go fix on Monday. And they're already ready. How did I know that the boots were ready? How? Why? Because of the paper. And he told me, well, how do you know that they're ready? Because here it says, look here, the date. And that I should pick them up at 6 on Friday in the evening. It's about to be 6, as to say they're ready. I had trusted in the shoe worker, in his word. What was the evidence? I had the boots. Did I see them? No. What was my evidence? The paper. What is your evidence? The word. The faith. This is the word of faith. Because the word of faith produces faith in the heart of the people. And when you're sick or poor, instead of speaking that, you speak what it says here, the word. And you believe that you receive it. And this is your evidence. And when you say, I believe I am healed. I believe I'm prosperous. People will not understand. They're going to think that you're crazy. Doesn't matter. This is your evidence. And that's what you speak up until you see the manifestation. When you see the manifestation, you no longer believe. Actually, you already have it. That paper was my evidence. Why did that friend of mine from school or from work? Friend from school said. My friend said, well, how do you know that they're ready? And I showed him that piece of paper with the handwriting of the very same shoe worker. He said, come and pick it up with this. Bring this note with you. A piece of blue paper that with a seal. It had the name of the business and the street. Remember back then when they would have to put a seal with a black seal? But under, he wrote the description of the boots, how they were, what color, what size, and what work had to be done, and what they had to, and what time they were going to be ready. I still hadn't seen the boots, but the evidence was there. Which is why Paul said, this is the word of faith that we speak. The Bible says, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Hebrews 11:1. Things are not yet seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not seen. Now, do you see this coin here? What is this coin? It's a quarter. There is a difference between believing and faith. People say, yeah, I believe. Yeah, I have faith. What do you call this? It's the face, correct? In English, it's the face and head and tails. Spanish, it's the seal and the front. This coin, supposedly to this day, is legal tender that the treasurer of the United States values to be able to obtain and buy things. Now, of course, you don't buy many things now, but do you agree with me? But if I were to grab, do you know what a grinder is? A grinder or a hammer. And I remove the face? No, it doesn't have value anymore. Which means you need both sides. Believing is one thing, but it's not faith. Although you may begin believing. I gave you the example of a person. Again, an example of a person who would have arrived here and said, I'm hungry. And he would have standed here and I said, I believe that if I eat this bread, I will live. But he doesn't eat it. That's not faith. You can say, I believe all the word. But up until you don't act in the word that you know, up until you don't do at least the bare minimum of what the word says, of what you know that the word says, until then you are in faith. But while that comes, forgive me, but that's just, I tell you this to help you. It's just making yourself. Thank you, son. That's for that reason that if you think that things are good for you, you would be in a better position. Until you don't do what you know, what you have. Start believing. How many of you remember when Fred Price came in 2014? I'll give you the same example. When he said, and he asked, how many of you come in a car? Brother Ramon Pedrugo was interpreting for us. How many of you come in a car? And the grand majority raised their hand. You can say, I believe and I confess that if I put the keys of my car in the ignition and I drive it, I turn it on, I drive it, I will reach my home. But you can arrive at your car and be confessing that and sit in the seat and confess it up until hell freezes over or something. And nothing will happen. You start confessing something, but it's up until you act on it. What is written. Well, many Christians, you may ask them, do you believe in tithing and offering? And they'll say that they do, but they don't give anything. Which is why they're so poor, because they don't honor God with their finances. And they would much rather live their whole life out of government help. Because there's a difference. God demands that you use faith. God demands that you practice the laws of tithing and offerings. Bless you. But he doesn't obligate you. Demanding and obligating is very different. There are people that think that demanding and obligating is the same. It's not the same. And I'll close with this. Give me the definition of demand. They're up on the screen. Look at what demand means. According to Dictionary of the Royal Spanish Academy, means to ask, request, require, urge, demand, plead, implore, beg. But God asks that he could be able to manifest in you. Because if God is just going to do things the way that he wants, why did I have to understand faith to be able to get out of the position that I was in, and I still haven't reached where God wants me to be in? But why? Because God operates through man. God operates through. Look at the difference from obligate. Obligate means to impose something by force. To force or obligate. To bind, to impose, to force, to pressure, to intimidate, to blackmail, to threaten. God doesn't do any of that. Never put demand with an obligate as a synonym, because they are not. Look at this. God demands that his children walk by faith. You see the difference of demanding. God does not obligate. Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many of you have at least traveled through an airplane or through a bus? Have any of you traveled on bus or airplane? The ticket said that you have to be there at a certain time, correct? What would happen if you weren't there at that time? They leave you, right? Did they return the money? No. Now, listen to this. Your faith or whatever. For example, did that company, whatever the name is, did they obligate you to go there? Normally, I travel through American Airlines when I go through airplane. Who chose that company? I did. Well, no one told you to come to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one put a gun to your head, and no one obligated you to be born again. Someone preached, someone spoke to you of the kingdom. You were inspired. God attracted you, but he did not obligate you. You accepted to be a child of God. You accepted to be born again. Do you agree? So if you came to the kingdom of God, God demands that you walk by faith. You understand? Just like American Airlines tells me, the last flight that Nuvi and I went to was to California or Texas. We had to be, the airplane was going to leave at 3 in the evening. It's 2 hours here in Douglas. There's no airplane, so we had to go to Tucson. We had to leave at a certain hour. I have to. I must. In English is an imperative necessity. You understand? Are you understanding? No one obligated you to come to the kingdom of God. You could have gone to hell. Oh, no. Oh, well, then, now that you came here to in the things of the Lord, God demands that you walk by faith. God demands that you understand the principles of love and honor so he may honor you. Thank you. That's it. Thank you, Lord. So much so that you cannot say that demand and obligate is the same thing, which is why millions of Christians do not understand faith. They assume they have faith in God. They assume that they believe. They assume this and that. They assume only, but their lives are miserable. It's not criticism, or they are not where they should be. Have you heard people that say here in Douglas or in the United States, "Well, once I retire, as long as they give me my check there, every month, every week, and with that, as long as I have that paid off," that's a very miserable way of thinking and a very poor way of thinking, because it's not based on you. There's a kingdom out there to advance. Israel. I'm going to put you as an example, son, okay? For good, it's a good example. Time ago, Misael came after a service and he said, Pastor, I want to talk with you. I need to talk. Now, no, I went there to the office and my son said, Misael said, it was something, right? You told Anthony, told my son, Misael wants to talk with you. Well, you know what, Pastor? Months now, the Lord has been dealing with me, but I hadn't done it. But now, today, it was a Thursday evening. Now it's, the Lord was dealing with me so much with me. I said, I have to do it. And he gave me a gift, and I went to a gift. Well, that's fine. And I saw a box there. He said, I don't know if you like them. What does it matter? I receive what is given to me. Sometimes they've given me clothes that don't fit me. I don't know. Perhaps they've given me some shirts that... Or like Dr. Maldonado or something like that. They're huge. So, you know, they're way too big. You know, I have to give them to someone else, but it's seed for me. I opened it. And you know what? It was this lava here that I have. But you know why God put that in his heart? And it was something precious for him because he said, that he really wanted one and he worked and he saved money for it. He said, well, why doesn't anyone give me anything? Because you don't give anything. That reason in the kingdom of God. Exactly. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you the truth. It's as if instead of eating turkey, I ate a rooster. But I like this subject of faith and honor. Because when you live it, right, love? Nuvia? Because when you live it, because you know what? God cannot place someone else with you because he will love you. He will love you, but he cannot honor you. When I was in that bicycle where I couldn't even sleep, no one had given me anything. You know what? Because I didn't practice giving in the kingdom. I gave out of fear because the church told me that if you don't tithe, you're going to go to hell or God will curse you. Although, let me tell you that I started tithing ever since I was in the world. But it also has to do where you give as well. Which churches, because not all churches are good ground. Another one. Stand on your feet. I want to go. Glory to God. Now I'm going to make a correction on that on tithing. I'm going to make a quick correction. When I started tithing, I was very, very lost in the world. My mom taught me. She said, it's about time that they should have killed you. Because I wasn't in good paths for you to understand. And just reading there, that's what helped me. And I think that's what helped to preserve my life. But after, I was just going to traditional religious churches. But then I started learning more and more with my pastor, who gave me those foundations. Father, thank you. We love you. Now it's true. God does not obligate you to give, but God demands that you practice sowing and reaping if you want to see more blessing in your life. You see the difference. But it won't obligate you. Father, we thank you. And we bless you, Lord. Thank you for your truth and your word. Thank you for your truth, Lord. We honor you. Give you the glory and the honor and all exaltation. Holy Father, for those who are going to give this morning, here, online, or wherever, do it in faith and don't just give. Obligated, give out of your heart. Believe that God will multiply what you give. And God will give you wisdom make it to where things will last more for you and prosperity will come to your home. You will lack nothing. And that's a step forward. Increase and increase.
You're here by faith, but God hasn't finished with you. If you keep honoring the Lord, you'll keep growing. Millionaire, a multi. But you have to have that heart for the Lord. Not just bless you for them to you to get him later. He doesn't have a dog's face. You need to be ready. Have trust in you. He loves us all. Or trust us all. And started driving. I was with him. I trusted him. But even though he was 18, and at 18 he could drive alone, I didn't trust him completely. Did that mean I hated him? No. I didn't love him? No. I didn't have that trust that I have now. You understand that? I saw that he was maturing, driving. Then I could start trusting him. Same with God. He loves us in everything, but he can't trust us in everything. We have to keep growing and maturing and showing that he can trust in us. Thank you, Lord, for your of Jesus. I speak abundance, prosperity. I speak blessing of 3 John 2, 11. My desire that you prosper and have health, that way that you prosper in your mind. And I speak healing to you. The power of Satan, and I speak healing in your body. Receive it by faith, right there where you are. Say, I believe that I receive it. Speak healing. I speak healing to your back. I say, pain, go away. And if you have a fever in your body, I curse that fever. The word of God says that by his stripes we have been healed, and we believe we receive it. I speak peace in your home, abundance, harmony, and that the Spirit of God manifests himself in your home. Say, I believe I receive it. We receive what we are praying. We believe what we're praying. And thank you, Lord, that you bring a harvest and you multiply the offerings given. You see money as seed. Others see it as money. But you see it as seed. It is a tool to reach more. Thank you, Lord. The prayer that Renee does to receive offering, don't just say it, believe it in your heart. And from there, the Lord will supply. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.